Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Please be seated. But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, "Why do you tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the coin of the tribute." They offered him a penny, and Jesus saith to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I remember when I was a boy, I liked to be outdoors. And sometimes late into the dark night hours, playing basketball or riding a bicycle or what have you. And we lived out in the country, so the nighttime skies were just beautiful with all the stars and the bright moon that you would often see. So many times I can remember, thinking back to those days, that when we were done playing basketball, I would lie down on top of the hood of the old junk car that we had in our driveway and just stare up at the stars and just do nothing really, but relax. That was one of the most, for me, the most relaxing things to do, just to look at the stars. And even to this day, I guess a bit of a fascination with the stars. And the quotation of God in the Psalms, that God knows the star, how he can call each star by name. When you think of the galaxy upon galaxy that there is, think of the beauty of these stars just from the naked eye, what you can see and what you can imagine that they look like. And then think of the pictures that scientists have found of these beautiful stars. It's enough to truly make you marvel at God's work, his creation. Now, why do I say this? It brings us to the gospel. You read it last Sunday and again today. The coin of the tribute. Jesus saith to them, "Whose image is this?" And they answered him, "Caesar's." And then he told them, "Render to Caesar, therefore, the things that are Caesar's, but to God, the things that are God's." Most Catholic preachers use this Sunday, last Sunday, as a time to speak about the image on the soul. And so St. Catherine of Siena, when she speaks about the soul, she says that if a man could see a soul in the state of sanctifying grace, he would be willing, most willing, to die for it, to die for that beauty, she said. And she went on to say that the soul in sanctifying grace is more beautiful than all worlds, than all the stars that you can see and that the eye could ever come across. One soul in the state of sanctifying grace is that beautiful. Imagine heaven filled with these souls. One day we all hope, with a true Christian hope, to be able to see these souls that are pleasing to God. And we hope to see what is even more beautiful, God as he is in himself. First, though, the test, the trial. We oftentimes meet people who try to dirty our soul, you might say. You run into them in the streets, in the grocery stores, everywhere. Remember that we're always in this constant war against principalities and powers. That was from the previous Sunday's epistle. They're always looking after your soul, trying to destroy it. But we must keep it clean. So precious is your soul to God, however, that he has given us the sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion, the soul's food is God himself. And there you receive the application of the blood of Jesus Christ on your soul whenever you sin. The Holy Ghost comes into your soul in confirmation. And as often as you are in sanctifying grace, the three persons of the Blessed Trinity really do live in your soul. Think of this, contemplate it, the beauty of a soul, and every day ask that it become whiter and whiter, more beautiful than the snow, more beautiful than all the worlds that God could create. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.